The weekly meetings are a time where you can really just open up as men, and we don't do that well. You know, I remember the plug for CLC from the gentleman who went to California and brought it out there. He said, I was tired of turning around in church and shaking a guy's hand. And that was it. That was it. And I think to some degree, all men who are in the church community or have been associated with church in some degree can relate to that statement. And these weekly meetings for 2 years, you're going to know these men in and out. You're going to know things that their wives don't even know. Their parents don't know about them. Their close friends don't know about them.
Welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, where men rediscover courageous masculinity. Pull up a chair as we gain strength from the stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. These men have discovered that in a world of superficiality and isolation, we need authentic brotherhood to gain strength for the battles we face every day. Brought to you by the ministry of CLC, which challenges men to an uncommon pursuit of Christ, welcome to Empowered Manhood. Hey guys, as we begin this week's episode, I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 28, from the part of the scripture that's called the Great Commission. And so this is Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. And it says this, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Often this passage of scripture is used and has been used in my 25 years of ministry experience in reference to evangelism. And what I mean is that we look at this and we say, see, God tells us to go to all the nations to share the gospel, convert, and make followers of Christ. And there's truth to that, but I think there's more to it than that as we look at this. That's one part of what Jesus is saying here, but he's saying to make disciples, not necessarily converts, but to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, but then also teaching them to obey everything that he, Jesus, has commanded us. So bringing someone to faith or converting someone is one piece, but discipleship is a bigger, more involved process. It involves us showing them how to be a student of the master, a student of Jesus. That's what being a disciple means. It actually means to be a student of someone else. A disciple of Jesus means to be a student of him. It means that we are to imitate him. We are to listen to his teaching, embody that teaching, consume and appropriate that teaching in our lives to become just like him, basically. That's what it means to be a disciple. So there's more that God asks us to do than just simply evangelize. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't evangelize, of course. That is without a doubt the very first thing and first step in discipleship is someone coming to faith. But I think, unfortunately, in some ways, the evangelical movement has impoverished the idea of discipleship and reduced it down, especially with regards to Matthew 28, to just simply evangelism. Hi, my name is Mike Hatch, and welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast. I'm going to be joined here shortly with my co-host, author, and speaker, Chris Bollinger. And today, we are speaking with Dan Narwald. And Dan is a medical doctor, an assistant member of the Moffitt Cancer Center Department of Anesthesiology in Tampa, Florida. Now, when he got to Florida a couple years ago, he and a few other guys decided to start a CLC all-in group at his church, which is the most rigorous curriculum that we offer for men's discipleship. It's 2 years. It's meeting every week. There's scripture memory. There's something like 2 to 4 hours of work that you do a week in preparation for every weekly meeting. But the rewards, as you'll hear from Dan, are just, you can't measure them. It's immense. And the reason I bring this up is because my role in CLC has been to meet with and talk with pastors and churches from all over the country. We've literally reached out to hundreds of pastors. And the thing that I have been learning through this process over the last year and a half or so is that churches typically do not disciple men. One pastor that I spoke with said that the mainline denomination has focused mainly on membership, while non-denominations the non-denominational persuasion of churches have more focused on evangelism. And amidst all those two emphasis, discipleship has fallen by the wayside. And what I love about CLC's all-in study is that it really truly helps to disciple men within the context of deep, lasting relationships. In CLC, we talk about the 4 T's of men's discipleship. The first being time, just time spent together, which builds trust. And then that trust leads to transparency, which ultimately brings us to transformation. And we believe that is an absolutely critical recipe to men's discipleship. So in this interview with Dan, you'll get to hear from his experience about what it was like to lead an all-in group, as well as learn about the benefits that he and the other men in the group enjoyed as they chose to endeavor together in this 2-year discipleship adventure. Lastly, I really think this interview is going to challenge your perspective on discipleship and the Great Commission and what God calls us to in maturing in our faith as men. All right, so here is our interview with Dan Narwald. Dan Narwald, welcome, man, to the Empowered Manhood Podcast.
Well, thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, we're excited too. I'm looking forward to your story, hearing your story. I'm looking forward to hearing about your experience in your recent, most latest CLC group, and I guess only CLC group up to this point. I'm excited for folks to hear about your experience. So let's first start, Dan. Just give a brief introduction to who you are. And let's hear a little bit about your fence post story, which we start out with every episode with our guests with. And so, again, just for those listeners who are hearing for the first time, imagine a fence along a property. Each vertical post represents a significant moment or person in your life. And every CLC group starts out that way. And you just did that yourself not too long ago. So share a few of those fence posts that have defined your life.
Sure. Yeah. So probably I'll start with my upbringing as being kind of a fence post to start off my life with. You know, I was brought up in the Midwest. I was brought up in church. I had a solid home life, 2 loving parents, 2 sisters, older sisters. I had good friends. I had a great upbringing. You know, I could go out and play and, you know, 10-acre environment without people wondering what's this kid doing around, and wasn't locked down from that standpoint. Just a peaceful, loving, kind, kind of good upbringing, solid home life. Mm. And I don't want to paint like the best picture ever. Of course, there's troubles in every situation. We're not all perfect, and certainly we all fall short. My parents fall into that category as well. But reflecting back on it, good upbringing, not much in terms of, you know, getting into real big trouble or having a lot of things kind of go amiss in my mm-hmm. childhood.
Yeah.
So that would kind of be.
And praise God for that real quick. And for anybody who's listening, because sometimes I think some people think, I don't have a story. My life was great and whatever, you know, that's not true. Like there's something very significant about growing up in a family where, you know, where there's stability and some security there, even though, again, things aren't perfect. So no, I just want to recognize that. Like that's, I think it's amazing.
Amen. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's kind of a post, if you will. And now it covers a number of years. Yeah. 18 to be exact. And then I get into more of kind of the prodigal son type of scenario in some aspects, the college years. You know, I left home, I went out of state for college and the world sucked me in. I will say that, you know, and a couple of things, I didn't have a regular church community in college. I got into a lot of experimenting, be it alcohol, drugs, promiscuity, pornography. You know, I lived this life where I studied hard, but I played hard. The impact that had in a 4-year college experience, you know, I had some great times. I met some great friends. I still have friends to this day from college that are some of my best friends in life. But the environment there, the world getting you. And I can safely say that marking point, that fence post shaped me easily for the next 10 plus years of my life. You know, some of those unhealthy avenues continued well in my 20s, even early 30s for me. So that's one of those areas that, brings with it a lot of guilt and shame as I reflect back on it.
Yeah.
Something that certainly I've been reckoning with and dealing with in my life, even to this day. Now fast forward past those 10 plus years, I went through a period, where my dad died, where I had a really pretty brutal breakup with a girlfriend at the time. Now this again was over a few year period. It wasn't like dad died, got my head on straight. No, you know, dad died, couple years, relationship, girlfriend, but the culmination of those kind of jolted me awake.
And how old were you at that point?
Early 30s. Okay. Yeah. Early 30s at that point. Again, not like a lightning bolt moment. I rarely get those. I had a couple in my life where God really speaks, grabs a hold of me. But at that point, once I kind of had fallen face down, there was something deep that started stirring within my soul. And that's when I had kind of this year of growth. This was 2012, so about 10 years ago now. But just a recommitment to my faith. I really dug into my local church community at that time. I went through something called Cleansing Stream Ministry. I was living in California at the time, and I think they're still doing it out there. It's basically a Bible intensive, just turning it back over to God, kind of a healing type of ministry, very biblically based. It was about a 3-month ministry. So that was a little shorter thing, but it was cool. Joined a men's group, got really involved in men's ministry, church retreat at that time. I enrolled in counseling. I saw a counselor for the first time in my life for about a year. And, you know, other avenues for sure. Prayer, lots of quiet time. Kind of that son coming home from the Bible. And
interesting.
Had a lot of healing in that year. Had a good church community. Was praying for a wife. I had never done that before, and ended up getting married shortly thereafter, starting a family, and lived on happily ever after, right?
And the
without
rest of
a
the
problem
story. Yeah, right.
And here we are today. No, so you know, and that's just it, is that marking point, that fence post did bring a lot of healing. But then life continues to unfold, and there's new challenges with marriage. There's new challenges with having kids. There's new challenges as you get healed in one area. other areas, you realize, oh, you could use some healing there too. Yeah. So that kind of brings me up to more present day. And I feel like a fourth fence post is kind of unfolding currently. And that would be this marking point of a CLC group, Christ-Led Communities, all-in group that I just finished up. We had a two-year group, men from my local church. I've since moved to Florida, so that's where I'm at here. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that marking point is unfolding even now as we've kind of finished up this immense growth group from the last 2 years.
Hey, Dan, before we get more into that, you mentioned your healing time, and the first trigger you mentioned for kind of recognizing that you needed something in your life was your dad dying. Can you talk about your relationship with your dad, what it was like growing up, and then, you know, how did it change or what happened to it when you went off to college and after that?
Yeah. Yeah. I had a good relationship with my dad. I can say that confidently and proudly for my whole life. You know, he raised me in the church, raised me in the faith, raised me with discipline, raised me with love, raised me with understanding.
Wow.
And I would say even during the college years, you know, there's something transition where he kind of transitioned from being more of, he was always my father, but he became my friend. I would even say he became my best friend. I hid a lot from him. I will say that. But in terms of who he was always this guy that was just there for you. He would listen to you. He wouldn't judge you, get on your case. And, so I had a great relationship with him, and probably some of my deeper guilt and shame is keeping some of the you know, the more risque things in my life from him, or even talking to him more about that stuff. Now, we talked about some of it. But no, it was, so in a sense at that time I lost both my dad and my best friend.
Wow. Yeah, that's a huge blow, it sounds like. Plus you're in California at the time, right? So, I mean, you've got that physical distance, and you probably in the back of your mind always thought, well, I can talk to my dad about this somewhere down the road, and then that opportunity is gone. So that had to be a big gaping hole in your life at that point.
It was, and that's exactly right. I think the sense of time and God talks about these things, you know, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like a day. It's like, we have these experiences as well, where the concept of time, and, you know, you're in your 20s, 30s, oh, I have all this time. Oh yeah. Right. Marriage. That's 10 years from now. Or, oh, you know, going out all night, drinking, being with women, that's going to change. I'm 31, you know, guys don't do that till they're 50. So I've got all this time, and I'll come around, and, you know, my dad, I'll be able to talk to him more about this later on. And then boom. Yeah. No,
yeah.
that's gone on this side of eternity. So
what a picture of our Heavenly Father. Like, it's just incredible. Like, so he's faithful. Mm-hmm. He's there for us. He wants to be, you know, he wants to relate to us, be present with us. And, he even calls us friend. And yet how often do we hide from him? You know, how often do we feel we need to, you know, and yet, yeah, but the beautiful thing about it is that, God's not going to die. You know what I mean? And even your father, you'll be reunited, you know, what a hope and a beautiful thing, you know, that, but what, man, I just praise God for how he represented your Heavenly Father to you. Mm-hmm. That's I'd pray that for anybody who's a father. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like our main goal. I should be that, like, when our kids look at us, that we will reflect the Heavenly Father to them. Mm-hmm. So that when we're gone, that transition in relationship will hopefully be as seamless as possible.
Yeah, and that's a huge encouragement. And I would encourage listeners who are fathers now. I mean, my dad, you know, I watched his faith change, grow, blossom. I mean, he went from a man who was kind of a, a weekly church goer to full engagement. He was involved with the church band before church bands were a thing, strumming his banjo.
That's great.
He ended up retiring fairly early and doing some overseas mission, medical mission work. I just watched God kind of get a hold of his life and dig into him and for my dad to respond. I mean, his Bible is on his nightstand every night and he was actively reading it. So it wasn't like he was perfect from day one. I don't want to paint that picture. And we as fathers, I don't think we are, or father figures. Let's not minimize that. Those that don't have a family, we all have a family of sorts. We all do. So if you're a father figure out there, setting that example, and just walking with God in that is huge.
Okay. So you had a good church in California. You went through a great experience. You had a counselor for a time, entered a new stage of your life, got married and started a family. And then you went to Florida and you started CLC. So what prompted those big changes? Because you mentioned before we started that you had the chance to do a CLC group out in California and you said no. Then you got to the great state of Florida and everything changed. So to walk us through that, you know, what led you to Florida and what led you to make the decision to do a CLC group?
Yeah. So I was introduced to CLC by a gentleman from Ohio who had gone to California and had joined our church. And at a men's retreat, he kind of plugged this curriculum. All right. It was, at the time, Christian Leadership Concepts, now Christ-Led Communities, but he had plugged this at a men's retreat and the all-in group specifically. And he had kind of added in that he had felt called really, yes, he was going through a job change and sorts, but he also felt called to come to California to bring this curriculum out there. And I thought, does that happen? Is that a thing, Lord? Because that's, you know, I kind of grew up in more of a traditional church, kind of stand up, sit down, keep your head down. Like, is the Holy Spirit moving in those ways? Okay, who is this guy? So I said, you know, when it was presented to me, I said, 2 years, 2 years. No, but how about my friend? Why don't you try him? And here's another friend. So two of my good friends ended up doing it. And had an amazing time with it. And meanwhile, there was a seed planted somewhere in my heart, placed, deep within, definitely on my mind. The move to Florida, my mom is a widow now. My parents stayed together, my whole life, but then my dad died and she was in Florida alone. And really through God, actually around 35,000 feet in an airplane, my wife and I coming back from Florida on a visit, we looked at each other and said, we're moving to Florida. And that was kind of it. That was one of those kind of lightning bolt Holy Spirit moments, with the motivation to take care of my mom and my wife's full support in that. So we got here, plugged into a local church, have the benefit that my mom actually attends that. So that's a beautiful thing. And I got introduced to a couple men in the church, fired up about men's ministry. We ended up doing a retreat, which the church hadn't done in quite some time. And then just was hungry for more and just felt this like momentum going forward. There's a few men. I know there's more. I don't know this church all that well, but I know this curriculum of CLC and I know it's changed lives and it's been very impactful for many men. Let's go with it and talk to the senior pastor. He was a yes man. He looked at the curriculum for a day or so and said, absolutely. So I had that support and basically I contacted CLC headquarters, had a man by the name of Lee kind of guide me through the process of getting the group going.
Lee is the, by the way, in case anybody's wondering, we just interviewed him a few episodes ago and Lee Gerstenberger is who you're talking about. And, we affectionately refer to him as the godfather of CLC. to make sure you knew that. So
good Godfather, not the
that's right,
Marlon
yes.
Brando Godfather.
Yeah, right. He's the Godfather that like impacts the guy in Ohio that then goes to California,
right,
and yep. shares it in California, right, Dan? And then it plants a seed in you. You go to Florida. And again, his whole idea of business tree, he thinks he's there for some, you know, reason, but God has other more profound, deeper, transcendent reasons. So anyway, continue.
Yeah. Oh, it's unbelievable how God connects these things. And really, I mean, just the planting of that small seed, and, it's unbelievable how it's grown, and how now I've led, seven other brothers through a group. And that's what we did. So our group is a little unique because we got going right in the midst of COVID. So there were some challenges associated with that, but we were able to meet in person. There were eight guys, and started summertime of 2020, and just finished up last month.
Wow.
So Dan, we rarely actually get into any kind of detail on CLC on this CLC podcast, which which management has had a talk with us about. But can you describe all in to our audience? Because I don't think, Mike, we've ever really, other than giving the name of it and saying that it lasts for 2 years and it's, right. you know, a very in-depth program, we really don't talk about it. So can you give like a 3-minute overview of, you know, what is all in, what happens, what do you guys do? Mm-hmm. Describe the program and a typical Friday morning meeting or
right
Monday, you know, Monday night meeting or whenever you guys met.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the hardest things to describe.
Sorry about that.
Because it's a Bible study. It's a leadership program. It's a discipleship opportunity. It's a worship set. It's all these things, but it's none of these things. It's, you know, it's, and some of this is from the curriculum itself that I'm going to just tell you about, but it's,
yeah,
it's a platform growing men and equipping them for a lifetime of leadership. And it really does. It challenges men to this uncommon pursuit of Jesus Christ. It is all about relationships. Relationships are foundational. Jesus was a relationship guy. I mean, God himself on earth yeah. was all about the relationships. Those are put above any goals, any agendas. It's got, and this is the best, the bottom line, the foundation, the cornerstone. Completely biblical foundation. And there's a lot of things out there right now that'll confuse you and, oh, is that out of the Bible? What? No, this is a completely biblical foundation. It's so good. There's never, in my 2 years, there was never a question of like, oh, is that a little taken out of context? Is that a little, no, it's, they hit the big biblical foundations. And I love that about it. It requires vulnerability, confidentiality. Those are two huge, huge aspects. There were multiple times I heard brothers saying, this is the first time I've ever shared such and such. So there's just this development of deep interpersonal relationships with other Christian men. You're going to have lifelong friendships. You're going to be equipped to lead others towards Christ. Your spiritual maturity is going to grow. And the concept of discipleship, if you've never even thought about that word or what it means, I mean, God asks us to make disciples, not make converts, but make disciples. So you'll learn about what that even means and how you go about that. Why the 2 years? Well, it takes time. It takes time to develop these things. This is not an overnight thing with Jesus. I mean, your salvation, yes, okay. Today, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. My salvation is secure. But the rest, it takes years, a lifetime, so to speak. The weekly meetings, they're 2 hours in duration, and they go along with like a homework curriculum. So you'll have some weekly assignments to do. And you meet, you kind of discuss what you did in the homework. You'll have some supplemental reading for some very from excellent books, excellent authors that go along with the reading. And there's these 12 modules you work through, and they work through some big aspects of life. So just looking at the foundation of who Jesus is, looking at Bible study, teaching, praying, engaging your culture, friendships, serving your family, the marketplace, your business, apologetics, money. How do we deal with finances from a godly standpoint? Discipleship, and finally leadership. So you hit these big things. And it's the weekly meetings are a time where you can really just open up as men. And we don't do that well. You know, I remember the plug for CLC from the gentleman who went to California and brought it out there. He said, I was tired of turning around in church and shaking a guy's hand. And that was it. That was it. And I think to some degree, all men who are in the church community or have been associated with church in some degree can relate to that statement. And these weekly meetings for 2 years, you're going to know these men in and out. You're going to know things that their wives don't even know. Their parents don't know about them. Their close friends don't know about them. So, that's kind of my overview.
And they're going to know you. And that sounds very intimidating, but it's actually such a huge blessing because, you know, to have other men know a lot about you that you haven't shared with somebody else, and they still care for you and they pray for you and they support you and they've got your back and they'll be there at 3 a.m. if the wheels come off. I mean, that's huge. And frankly, the vast majority of men don't have any men in their lives who really know them and are there for them. So that was one of the huge things I got out of it was these guys, they know me. They know me better than my wife, my kids, anybody knows me, and they're still there for me.
Dan, can you speak to a little bit about, speak to us a little bit about the accountability piece to it within the context of those relationships? Because I think one of the things that gets guys hung up if in our most honest moments is that, oh boy, like 2 years, a lot of extra reading and study and homework. Oh, like just that makes my stomach turn thinking about even just doing homework. That word carries so much baggage, even for me personally. But like, you know, I think for a lot of guys, they get hung up on this fact that, gosh, well, now I'm going to have to I'm going to really have to put forth some effort and be accountable to these other guys. And I think that's scary. I think guys are intimidated by that. Can you speak to about how that played out in your group?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And that can be scary. And I think when I went about asking people and if they wanted to be involved, I laid that out from the beginning. This is going to require commitment. This is going to require time. But my I came from a standpoint, I had never done a group, so I really didn't know. I was just speaking on based on other people's testimony. But I said, look, you know, this is also going to be so beneficial. And I think what will happen is it'll actually be something that actually turns from a burden to something you look forward to. And that's exactly what happened. So myself plus my seven other men, it, you know, the first month or so, it was more me keeping the guys accountable, checking in. How are we doing? How are we keeping up with it? Have you built this into your weekly rhythm? You know, making phone calls, emails, text messages, and it kind of took off by itself, where I didn't have to police it. It was one of those things where the men, they did it because they saw the benefit of doing it. It no longer was my burden at all. In fact, less than a month, and it was like, man, that these guys are, they need it, they crave it, they want it. So that actually, surprisingly, I was surprised by it. It kind of became a non-issue for my group. Now, I imagine there will be some groups where that will be an issue. And my prayer, my hope would be that you just stick with those guys and hope that they will kind of see that benefit and really carve out the time required for it.
All right. So let's transition a little bit to, because man, we could actually, I could talk a long time on about that right now, but what, I wanted to touch on how this group has influenced your perspective, your approach to your career, you know, and where you're spending the majority of your time serving and working. And you can tell us a little bit about what you do, of course, in that process if you want, but, yeah, I'd love to hear how your time in the group informed what you do professionally.
Right. Well, I'm a physician, anesthesiologist, and with that, yeah, I've worked a lot. by nature of our training, we go through medical school residency, 80, 100 hour plus weeks. Even when you finish, you keep working a lot. You know, work is something that's in my life. It's important to my life. I love what I do. I love the aspect of patient care and kind of just why I went into the medical field to begin with. And for that kind of caring type attitude, my dad was a doctor. My mom is a nurse. So I kind of have that in my genetic code, if you will. So it definitely shaped and reshaped my perspective on work. So just questions like, well, why do we even work? why do we work? How do we work? How does God use the work that we do to grow us in a relationship with Him and a relationship with others? Now there's a full module in CLC dedicated to this, module 8, Business by the Book. And it's a very helpful module that kind of reshapes this thinking. I actually printed out something from the CLC curriculum that I now have posted at my desk at work, which has stimulated some discussion with other colleagues as well, which has been nice. But it's just this little thing that says, I am called by God in my present career. I will work as unto the Lord. Jesus is the Lord of my life and my career. God is my audience of one, and I'm doing my work for the glory of God. I will operate ethically with love, justice, and holiness. And I kind of wrote my own thing in there, all with God's help and room for His mercy and grace as I stumble and fail.
That's great.
But just looking at work from that biblical basis, from that foundation, the audience of one thing really hit me. You know, am I going to work every day to please my boss? You know, even in the medical field, you know, you think like, oh, I have a boss too. Am I going to work every day to please my boss? Am I going to work every day to please some of my colleagues? Like, look at how good of a job I'm doing. Look how I'm taking care of my patients compared to you. Like, who am I working for here? I'm working unto the Lord. God is my audience of one, like all for His glory. So it's kind of been this reshaping of work. I think additionally, it helps in the grind. Healthcare can definitely be a grind where, man, day in and day out, where you can even become a little removed from patient care and, just got to get through today. And I'm not saying that every day I am easy peasy and there's no issues, but I will say it has been a full reshaping, a renewing of my mind, if you will, how I approach work on a daily basis. The CLC curriculum also, they have these little, and part of the homework, it's not just like going into scripture and there is some scripture memorization that's part of the curriculum, which is awesome, but, and difficult at the same time, but yeah. There's also these little activities as well. And one of them, I think in this module was kind of come up with your core values for life and for work. And, you know, I penned down absolute honesty, purity, love, and a servant attitude. Those were my core values and again, this wasn't just like a one day thing. That's another beautiful thing about this curriculum is you spend time with things. Yeah. You may spend one day in the homework on it, but then you'll spend time in the, in the weekly meeting time with the other brothers, kind of bouncing it off them. Well, what were your value? What were your core values for your work? And how are you working? How are you doing things at your job? And that's an amazing time, is to come together collectively and learn, hey, what do you do at your workplace? Have you had this same thing? I think what we found throughout the 2 years together is many of the men, they're struggling with the same things, or they're having, they're actually getting benefit from the same things. They can share those victories. So I look at these values for my life and, honesty, purity, love, servant attitude. If I could touch just real quickly, even on the purity thing, well, what purity? That's kind of weird, Dan. What purity at work? And like, you know, I go to a busy workplace, a hospital, you know, I have a wife and kids at home. Let's not ignore. We are living in this world. We are not to be of this world. We are in this world. Affairs take place, not just physical, emotional, these types of things. It can be quick to happen and kind of come out of nowhere. So I think that was something that was impressed on me, like, especially with my past in my 20s, like, yeah, I feel free from a lot of those areas of life, with experimentation and promiscuity, pornography, but, all it takes is just one misstep and you can find yourself back in it.
I want to camp out there for just a second. I think that's huge. What you just mentioned, here's what I think is huge about it, is that, so you identify this principle of purity. Here's the thing that I think guys think, you know, we come up with these values or things that we think are important and we name them. And it's as if, I don't know, it's as if maybe, we're supposed to embody them. And there's some truth in that, but in actuality is what you were describing, is it's almost like a recognition of that's something you desire to be based on what God's been moving in your heart about, but that in knowing that that is counter to the culture where you exist, and that you're desperately dependent on God to make that happen, you know? So it's not like you saying, hey, purity is that thing for me, so everybody give me all pats on the back about the fact that I'm all pure. No, it's that you want purity because you see the danger of how things can take you in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, again, and this is kind of the theme of the discussion today. It just is, it's coming out naturally. Yeah. And I'm coming off of the CLC group, but it's something that I don't know if I would have dug into without this group. I may have thought, that's not going to affect me. I'm going to be okay at work. There's not going to be these issues. But no, I mean, even in the standing with a friend module, you really get into pornography. And it's like, well, why? Yeah, we should be getting into pornography. Something like 90%+ of men have struggled with pornography at some point in their life. Why would we not talk about it?
Right.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where it's almost silly that we don't think about it more. But what a beautiful curriculum to actually allow it to come out and be realized and be discovered. And to wrestle with it and to know, again, it's not like you're going to get perfection on day one. I mean, you may get that healing, that immediate healing. I don't want to minimize that, but most guys, it'll continue to be a struggle. So I think and that's something that came out in the last 2 years that we talked about heavily as a group. And that is just awareness of issues. We've got so much, we are bombarded with busyness, the day in and day out of life. We're in a culture that is high speed, high paced. I'm convinced we are pushing so much down into the subconscious that it's in there that we're just not even aware. And I can't tell you in how many meetings it was just a brother would just be like, I'm aware of this for the first time ever. Wow. And yeah, they might not get victory over it right then and there. But just having that awareness is a start.
Dan, you mentioned a couple of things about the dynamics of your discussions when you met with your CLC brothers that struck me. And they struck me just because they're kind of obvious, but we don't, they're not obvious to most people because we don't experience them. So one thing you said was that a lot of guys in conversations would say, this is the first time I've ever told anybody this, right? So they have the ability, because of the confidentiality and the depth of the friendship they've developed with these guys, they trust them, they're able to share that kind of stuff. Another thing you mentioned was, you know, being interested in hearing what other guys said about, you know, what their goals are at work or what their struggles are, and saying, oh gosh, you know, a lot of guys struggle with this, or a lot of guys have the same experience. And the reason it stood out to me is because, I mean, this shouldn't be out of the ordinary, right? I mean, we should all be having the, but we don't have in-depth conversation with guys. I mean, outside of CLC in my life, I mean, especially since I went through CLC, I have some deeper friendships with guys, and I will have conversations one-on-one with guys and share things and hear from them things that, you know, 15 years ago, I never would have had these conversations. But outside of counseling, where it's just me doing the talking, right? It's not other people. I never went through group counseling, so it was just me and the counselor. Yep. You know, it's just so rare to have a couple of guys and you're all talking about stuff and you're all saying, oh yeah, I deal with that too. And how did you get through that? Oh, that's great. You know, let me write that one down. We just don't have these conversations, and it's such a loss to all of us that we don't, especially in the church.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't be real with men in the church, you can't be, you know, that's the most critical group of people with whom you should be real, but we hide everything from these people ordinarily.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, even just testimony to that is today. I mean, I'm speaking with you gentlemen for all practical purposes, the first time, you know, we've communicated, in other avenues, but there's things I'm even just speaking on now and to a broader based listener community that a few years back, no way. There's no way I would have done
exactly
that. Zero percent chance.
Yeah.
And you know, it's such a cool thing. You start off the program with like the fence post stories that with this kickoff retreat where you all kind of get naked, so to speak. Not literally, but
I was going to say, you may want to be more specific.
Emotionally naked.
And that rests on the leaders. You know, I gave my testimony first. I felt God and the Holy Spirit work in me so deeply and just say, let it all out. Mm-hmm. And I believe I did. That set the pace, the tone for the other seven guys. And every single one of them responded and really just opened up. Like, I know none of them have ever opened up ever. I mean, they've shared that with me time and time again. And that set the tone and the pace. In addition, you mentioned the confidentiality, the vulnerability. For about the first 2 to 3 months, I just kept speaking that.
Yep. So
we're a group of confidentiality, we're a group of vulnerability. And specifically to the confidentiality,
yep.
This is not going anywhere. This is not going anywhere. And once that was solidified, man, I mean, the rest of the time, there was not even a question about it. It was wide open for these guys to have these. And now that I see that we're done with this group, like me today speaking with you guys, I've seen it with the other seven brothers. Cause I have the unique, well, maybe semi-unique group where we all go to the same church. So we do still see each other on a regular basis. And I've seen them in conversation with other guys, and I'm, you know, speaking stuff that I know they wouldn't have spoken a couple of years back. So, and that's ultimately the goal. One of the goals is coming out as these like emboldened, confident leaders that aren't afraid to share and to go deeper, even on day one. And what an amazing platform to let that take place.
Man. Holy cow. That is compelling, Dan. Oh my goodness. This has been an amazing conversation, brother. I'm so grateful for your willingness to embrace the challenge of this 2-year program, and to lead these guys through it, even if this was your first time doing it too. And it sounds like just by how you're sharing how things went and the things you emphasized during that 2 years, that man, you did an incredible job leading these guys. And so I'm just thinking of if someone's a pastor, if they're a church leader, a ministry leader, what would it look like for you to have guys in your church go through something like this? Like that's something I as a pastor myself, that's something you yearn for, it's just gold. So thank you for that. Thank you for serving your church and your pastors in that way, cultivating a community like that.
Yeah. Dan, talk a little bit, just real briefly about the men at your church. Just describe your church. And I know you're just getting through with your all-in group, but what do you think the impact will be? You know, you're already starting to see the guys in your group talking to other guys, but walk us through kind of before you started CLC. Had they done anything like this? You said they did a retreat for the first time in a long time. Mm-hmm. So kind of what was the culture of your church when it came to men 2 years ago? And what do you think it'll be going forward?
Yeah. So, it's a smaller type community church. It's a Lutheran church. And I'm in an area of Florida where it feels like a blend of the Midwest, a little bit of East Coast.
Yeah.
some Florida natives. So
that's all Florida.
it's kind of that mixture. And, some of the guys had some exposure to various things. I know one gentleman had been impacted by the Wild at Heart curriculum. Mm-hmm. I believe that John Aldridge and that type of thing. A couple other guys had been with the BSF curriculum, that type of thing. So other ministries, in terms of going in depth, would be different from CLC. Definitely different from just the impact of the 2 years together, week in and week out, and those deeper relationships. I would say the guys that said yes. Now I asked a lot of people, and like I did the first time around, I said no to a group. I had probably 12 guys say no, and I had 7 guys say yes. And I think there's been a buzz in the air the last couple of years as I don't know everybody at my church, but I think there's just been a buzz around this curriculum, and people have seen, people talk. I mean, and they don't, again, in confidentiality, they don't talk about what we talk about
right.
in weekly meetings at all. But, when a wife sees her husband getting healed, she talks about that. And she talks about, she doesn't say specifics or anything, because he hasn't said any specifics. I have to make that a point. But it just, the buzz, I would say, is in the air. So there's already talk about another group starting at my church. I think, CLC is very intentional, where they do recommend a little break after you've just gone through a 2-year curriculum. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. I'm kind of in that time. We were talking before, that my brain is a little mushy at time, because I have so much over the last 2 years that I'm processing. I think these next few months are going to be a great time to process that. I think the other guys are going through that. Now at the end of CLC, in the last module, you kind of have this push to have a life mission of sorts. And so, I don't want to share terribly specific in the name of confidentiality with my men, but there's a big push for the group members to work with veterans. One guy's really, really feeling a pull towards veterans and specific things within that. I don't want to I'm going to make it broad based, but like a certain ministry within the veteran community, youth, elderly, lukewarm Christians, lost and struggling men, strangers. There's a push for those with disabilities. There's a specific thing there. Even those hostile to the gospel. There's a guy that's digging into what that may look like to go out and facilitate something there. So I would say overall in the church, there's been a positivity, a buzz around it. It's amazing that we're just eight men out of a church, you know, with people coming in and out of Florida. We go to 300 or 400 at some point, and then we kind of in summer months, we're back down to 250. So we're kind of mid-sized, so to speak. And, but it's certainly, the word is out there. I've had people come to me and say, when are you doing another group? Yeah. I've actually had one of the guys who said no to me the first time say, when are you doing another group?
Oh, great. So,
there is that interest, as a greater church, I think to keep this going.
And it's in a Lutheran church. I grew up Lutheran. The rest of my family is still Lutheran. That really warms my heart. And I mean, I haven't been involved in either or any of the Lutheran denominations for a long time, but I don't think this is fairly common in Lutheran churches. So this is great to see the men starting to get on fire and individually and collectively wanting to invest in each other, invest in the community, reach out to non-believers. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal in any church, but to me, it strikes me as not maybe unique, but unusual in a Lutheran church. Would you agree with that?
I think I would agree with that. And really it hinged on the buy-in from the senior pastor. Mm. And, you know, I met with him, I explained it to him, I showed him the curriculum, and he was all for it. It was as simple as that. That's now we great. Ended up having the, one of the assistant pastors in our group. So that also was a good thing for us. But yeah, to have that buy-in from kind of the top, I think. And I would encourage the listening community. If you're in a more of a denominational church, I know a friend of mine is going to be starting a group in a Presbyterian church. Mm-hmm. So I think the denominations, my hope and prayer is that won't be a hindering point, but I do think, if leadership kind of buy into it to some level, and that's where guys like you guys come in and Mike, of course, and being heavily involved in CLC, I think even phone calls to pastors, I can think I didn't need that for my lead pastor. He was in, but you know, a communication with a lead pastor, I think would go a long way. So it's not like, oh, what are you doing? This isn't Lutheran or whatever. It was, you know, no, it's not quote unquote Lutheran, but it's so biblically based that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can't really argue with it.
Right. Mm.
Well, and the thing that I keep coming back to that as you're sharing, man, Dan, is just how there are a lot of curriculum out there, a lot of men's ministry curriculum out there that Chris and I have talked about. But none of them combine these elements that we're talking about in such a unique way, you know, from the relational piece, of really bonding men together, you know, while being immersed in scripture and in study and growing. Like it's often one or the other. So often in our churches, it's either classwork, you know, Sunday school type of thing, growing in your faith, or it's like counseling, you know, or
service or some other aspect of the Christian experience. But but pulling it all together, again, I'm not sure if it's unique, but it's unusual to see all that, what you see in CLC.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a great way of putting it. It is. It's blending all of those avenues under one umbrella. And it's so true. Those are usually kind of in their silos, and not that that's bad in and of itself. You know, you can definitely grow and develop in those areas, but having it all kind of blend under one roof I've not encountered anything like it. And, you know, the vision, and I think we should speak to that too. This is a curriculum that, has been around for 30 plus 40 years. 40 years.
So 40 this is, years.
This is not something new. And this is, you know, this has been tried and tested and refined. And that's another thing I appreciate is the updates. So my curriculum was updated in 2020. We started in 2020. So it's not like an old curriculum. Some of the supplemental reading has been the books, different books have now been shifted in. I clearly feedback is taken after and we fill out a survey after the group and that's listened to. So it's it's a living, breathing, active curriculum, which is also unique and rare. Some of the other programs kind of get stale and don't keep up. And to be in a 40 plus year situation with this stuff is that's unbelievable to me.
Yep. All right, Dan. Well, we're so grateful. We're so grateful for your experience, for you sharing about your experience with the All In program with CLC, man. It's just, it's so important. And I think guys listening out there right now, are probably feeling the tug. I know there's someone out there, you know who you are. God's tugging on your heart and you're still fighting against it. Just do it, man.
Yeah.
Just do it. And you will be blown away. God will provide in amazing ways and blow your mind, exceed your expectations. You've made that clear, Dan. Yeah. All right. Well, Dan, if anybody wanted to reach out to you or get your perspective, ask you questions, or maybe there's a pastor listening who might want to talk to you for a moment, would you be open to folks connecting with you?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Yeah.
What would be the best way for folks to do that?
Probably email at this point. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll have that. Yeah. You can say it and I can put it in the show notes as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just my first name, Daniel.Narwold, which is NAHRWOLD@gmail.com. Yeah. Okay. I'd be happy to answer any questions and go over anything in more depth. You know, the cool thing about CLC is you can call their headquarters and someone picks up.
Yeah, that's right.
And we'll talk to you. And, I mean, it's awesome like that.
And that's funny. There's a lot of big organizations and ministries here. That is not the case. You go through quite a recording tree of options, but you're right. And I guarantee I can name at least, you know, it's either probably going to be Jason Klein or Jay. I don't know if Jamie's answering, but anyway, yeah, I know guys who, the people who'd be answering those phones. Yeah. All right. Well, Dan, I'd love to pray for you. To finish up before we head out here. Heavenly Father, God, you are so good. Oh my gosh. You're so faithful, God. Thank you for the way that was, just demonstrated through Dan's story of this group and the men in his group that got to experience this together, Father. It is so inspiring to hear what a group like this is capable of and the impact that that you have in men's lives through it. So, Father, thank you for Dan for his commitment to men, to discipling men, to his career and his profession. Thank you, Father, for how you've informed that for him so that he's serving in a new way, God. And I pray that as he does, that he would reflect who you are, your character, your glory to those around him who may know you, but definitely for those who don't know you. And pray, God, that you would open up doors for maybe those conversations, or at least for people just to see and say, man, something is different about Dan and the way he conducts himself professionally. And God, just pray again for other churches and for ministries and men out there who are looking to build communities, true, real discipleship communities like this, Father, that they would trust you and they would step out in faith. If you're moving in some guy's heart right now, Lord, and strengthen them, encourage them, Father, to step out and trust you and start a group like this. And we pray all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me.